And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, in a couple of days, Trump is going to deliver his State of the Union address. Now, the government, or at least part of it, is still shut down. And Governor Spanberger is going to deliver the Democratic Party response, formerly Congressman Spanberger. In any case, what's the State of the Union in your view? And what do you think Trump's going to say?
Well, we know what he's going to say. And as I commented a couple months ago, when he was getting ready to send the National Guard into Washington, D.C., he was going to give a speech on it that I said what Mayor Bowser should have done. I think if the Democrats had any out-of-the-box thinking, what they would have done is instead of having this reply, which can't really, it's very difficult to have a reply because you don't know exactly what the speech is going to say. What they should have done is said, if the speech is going at 9, we're going to hold a press conference with Governor Spanberger at 8:30. And she would get up there and say, we don't know exactly what the president's going to say, but I can tell you this. He's going to lie. He's going to cite statistics that aren't true. He's going to take credit for things he deserves no credit for. He's going to be deceptive. He'll mention a few things that we're going to agree on. He's going to say things that are outrageous. I'll come back after the speech and we're going to do fact checking while he's talking, and I'll be able to verify the things that I've said here and then come back and do that. Instead, they're going to do the normal stuff, which is, talk about the Democrats kind of agenda, but Trump's going to go long. So nobody's going to be up to really hear about it. And only the policy wonks are going to really care. It's a thankless task to be the response.
It has sunk many a responder.
Yeah, I mean, remember Bobby Jindal, and they had that comment from Chris Matthews. Oh God, he didn't realize his mic was open, you know. And Marco Rubio stopping in the middle, reaching for a bottle of water and taking a sip. Somebody in the kitchen.
Katie Britt was a disaster.
She was a disaster. And then, but they're only playing to, you know, in those, the Republicans are playing to an audience of one on that. We'll just have to see what it is.
But what do you think the State of the Union is?
It's mixed in a lot of ways. It's a disaster in many ways. Mm-hmm. We're doing things that are so antithetical to what the country is about or what it's meant to be under Trump. ICE is just part of it. Trying to revise history. If you saw this week, a judge in Philadelphia said you got to put back the exhibits that talked about the slaves that the president, or that George Washington and others brought to Philadelphia during the Constitutional Convention, that kind of thing. We have this issue with the fairness doctrine or the unfairness doctrine the Trump people are, you know, blaming the Democrats for being censors, but they're completely, you know, censoring things. They've reversed the civil rights policy of the Justice Department that only, you know, white people can be discriminated against, type of stuff. And we saw, and I think we talked a little bit of last week about that one nominee for for a high post in the government talking about whiteness, which he couldn't really describe. But pushing this, the ultra MAGA base type of stuff. And certainly economically, we've got growing problems. We've got a soaring deficit. Remember, Republicans were all for balancing the budget and fiscal responsibility. And with their tax cuts, they've done, for the wealthy tax cuts, they've only created a worse growth in our annual deficits and our collective amount of money that the government owes, which means that interest rates are going to have to rise. Foreign countries are selling American securities. The dollar is worth far less than it was. Remember, Trump used to say he wanted a strong dollar. Well, he doesn't have it. Our export-import imbalance is growing, and we're not creating more jobs. Ford just closed or stopped production in a plant down south, and one of the other automakers said they were closing up a plant in Kentucky, I believe. So all of these... all of these things are going to get masked by Trump's propaganda, that he's going to make things, you know, he's going to try to make cod liver oils sound like cherry soda. take a swig, and no matter how bitter you think it is, it's real. Tell people it's really sweet.
Right. Well, what about the tariffs? Aren't the tariffs going to bail us out?
Well, that, you know, that Trump is still, you know, it's a, I was listening to something this week on my drive back from Philadelphia, and they were playing Trump's interview from like 40 years ago about how tariffs. He was fixated on tariffs. He's never changed his opinion. Over time, he's talked about it's the most beautiful word in the English language, tariffs. You know, every economist worth their salt knows the tariffs are a tax, and they're a tax on consumption, which means on the middle, disproportionately regressive taxes on the middle and the lower income people. And we've collected tariffs, the government, but that takes money away from people to spend to help the economy.
Wait a minute. I thought the tariffs were paid for by the exporters, the Chinese manufacturers. They're paying the tariffs, no?
No.
Oh, really?
No. They technically have it, but then they pass it on to the importers. And the reason it hasn't been as bad
who,
as...
Who cuts the check?
Who cuts the check?
Yeah.
It's generally the importers.
The importer cuts the check.
Yeah. And they, the only reason that things haven't been worse is that they've been absorbing some of the cost instead of passing costs fully, in not every case, but passing the cost fully on to the consumer.
I read that some obvious un-American economists, in fact, I think it was the Congressional Budget Office, issued a report that said that 80% of, or 86% of the tariff money collected was paid for by Americans. And I think quite properly, one of the cabinet members said that all of those people should be arrested who wrote that report.
Well, that's, you can't tell the truth here. But right. But the importers are Americans, so it's American businesses and American consumers. That's who's paying for it. And you've got people that really know better running things, like Kevin Hassert.
How do you know he knows better? He never said a thing that came out right in his life. He's been wrong every time.
Well, he knows the tariffs are taxes. He knows that, but he won't admit it now. Mm-hmm. And the Secretary of the Treasury. Oh, do you remember the thing about he talked about people? Well, they may not have to own their 2, 5, or 10 houses. Remember, he was talking about that.
Yes.
He certainly knows better. You know, they talked about he being one of the better choices of Trump for the administration. But they all have sold their reputations and souls in order to come into these positions where all they're doing is damage. And
They're not doing damage to themselves. They're not doing damage to the people that they care about. They're only doing damage to you and me and people who work for a living.
Right.
Well, what does that matter?
Well, that's part of, you know, what's wrong in America is we have this gap because the people who know better, particularly those on the inside, it came out this week that Howard Lutnick's family had been buying up tariff protected items for like 25 cents on the dollar, that when the money has to be refunded, they're hoping to get a 3 or 4 times return on their money. So
let's understand this. Lutnick, the man who helped formulate the tariff policy and who says it's a great policy, figured out a business approach in which he could benefit when the policy was declared illegal, right?
Right, right.
And so actually put his money where his mouth is. That is to say, he put his money on the tariffs being illegal.
Right. So he pushed a policy that he knew was wrong and bet against the policy and now stands to reap rewards of the policy.
3 or 4 times what he invested.
His family invested.
The man should be president. The man is obviously brilliant.
That's what people, he's not alone. There have been people that are making these plays all along in the government, and nobody is stopping them. Because
the government officials are betting against the policy that they're promoting?
Well, you see when they sell stock, before Trump announces something, we had a lot of that, you know, before Liberation Day, or things that involve defense spending, or companies that they know that Trump is going to come out in disfavor against. You've got all of this stuff going on.
Are you going to now tell me that most Republicans who can do this, for example, Bresnahan, your congressman, he does things like that? He's against that.
Well, he says he's against it, but he's doing it. It's kind of the more corrupt version of what Warren Buffett said. He said, I'm against a lot of these tax breaks, but as long as they have them, I'm going to take advantage of them.
Warren Buffett is a funny character because Warren Buffett said, of course, this is a class-driven society and my class is winning.
Yes. Yeah. Class warfare.
Yeah.
On this stuff. So.
Well, what about the reimbursements? If the tariffs were illegally imposed, shouldn't they be repaid? Does that mean we're going to send money to China?
Well, that's left up in the air. Well, no, the money didn't come from China.
Oh, it didn't come from China. Oh. Despite the fact that Trump said that Chinese were pouring money into our pockets, none of it came from China.
No, they raised the price of goods, but the price was paid by the importers. So, but with the Supreme Court, you know, the Supreme Court decision didn't handle that. Now, that was one of the critiques of the Kavanaugh made, is that it's going to create a mess in trying to figure out who gets reimbursed.
But why should that matter? Supposing it does create a mess, so what?
Because, you know, what he should have said is, yeah, it was unconstitutional, it was a bad policy, but we should approve of it anyway because we can't undo the effects of it. But what the Supreme Court decision did was it goes back to the lower courts to figure out how and when this money is going to be repaid. And lots of luck in getting the Trump administration to fund the repayments.
Exactly.
Where's
exactly.
that money going to come from?
Exactly.
By the way, there was, you know, this decision. Gorsuch's reasoning was very interesting. The one thing was that the six-person majority said that Congress is the, you know, one, tariffs are a tax, and two, Congress is the only proper means of enacting a tax. Gorsuch was worried about the fact that if presidents could get away with circumventing Congress on this, they could impose environmental restrictions in some way, either through taxes or what have you, on and that's his and his mother's longstanding bugaboo, with the environmental. We don't want environmental regulations. So he enjoined the majority on that reasoning. At least it's a policy reasoning. We may not agree with the policy, but it's a policy reasoning.
It's more a procedural reason. It's more a reasoning that says, listen, we've got this structure that exists, and as long as it exists, we got to figure out the long-term effects of everything that we do in terms of that procedure. But Trump's attitude is, screw the procedure. The hell with the procedure. Right?
That's been his position on a whole host of things.
Yeah.
And that's why one reason that his polling is so bad. The American public, in many ways, says, well, we voted for this. We want the policy, but we don't like the way it's being carried out.
But you can't carry it out in any other way, says Trump. And he's right. He may be right. Unless the Supreme Court can figure out arguments that turn things upside down and inside out, he's right. But so far, the courts have found ways of turning things upside down and inside out. As, for example, to say that white people who are in power can be discriminated against by non-white people who have no power. I mean, to make that argument, you have to turn the world upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. And on things like the gerrymandering, they say that if you do it for political purposes, it doesn't matter the effect it has on minorities. You've given it the patina of our means of approval, that we're not going to look behind the actual effect.
But that by doing that, they turn the concept of politics upside down, because the whole point of politics is to arrive at consensus so that you don't have civil war within society. So the very thing that they sanction is the thing that exists. That is to say, they sanction changing the concept of politics, which exists in order to prevent civil war. It's an argument for civil war.
You keep hearing things, you know. The South has never quite given up. They're trying to figure out another way to win the Civil War, in essence. And
Trump has figured it out for them.
Yeah, remember my comments a while back that they're trying to figure out a way to reenact Plessy versus Ferguson without it. The name Plessy versus Ferguson.
But isn't it that exactly what Harmy Dillon is doing at the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division?
Yeah.
Her policies are Plessy versus Ferguson without the name. That's exactly what she's doing. Yeah.
Putting people in charge. And it's the foxes in the hen house.
There'll soon be no hens. They're going to get eaten.
Yeah. And then... And they've never thought beyond that. You know what happens when there's no chickens, no eggs.
Well, the whole thing. Now you say it. I forget who said it, but somebody said, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu.
That's yes.
And that's the point of politics. So if you want to be on the menu, go along with the people who want to put you on the menu.
Well,
but that's suicidal.
That's it. It's like in the rigged card game. If you can't figure out who the patsy is, it's you.
That's exactly right. But despite that, the MAGA coalition has had, I think, the most difficult couple of weeks that they've ever had. And I think that the extreme right wing of the right wing, the people that Nick Fuentes represents or speaks for, or who follow what he says, said, you got to tear MAGA down together with all the Republicans, because none of them are doing what they said they would do. What we need is a real Nazi. I think, Tim, that's interesting, right? And that's coming more. And it's the Epstein file, as they understand it, that's triggering this fury. But now Trump did something else that's triggering the fury of the people in Kennedy's group, the Make America Healthy gang, because at the end of the week, Trump said that Roundup should be protected from being sued. The makers of Roundup should be protected from being sued because there's a crisis in American agriculture and Roundup is its only solution. Therefore, there's a national emergency. But everybody in the world knows that the main ingredient of Roundup causes cancer. And that's one of the Make America Healthy Again group's main things. And they are livid. Thursday and Friday, they were livid with rage and said, he sold us out. Where's Kennedy?
Well, Kennedy sold them out. He's backing the president at this point.
Well,
that's this week. You know, who knows what next week's going to bring.
Right.
But you know,
what caused Trump to defend Roundup of all things?
Well, what you outlined is a whole, it's a whole host of items that are coalescing into one. Family farms are continuing to be abandoned and going bankrupt.
Anyway, they don't contribute anything of sub. They contribute 5% of the agricultural produce. Family farms don't matter economically. They matter socially, but they don't matter economically.
Yeah, well, that's it, socially, and they are voters on that. So he's trying to change the blame for this from his administrative policies, which, for instance, caused the Chinese to stop buying soybeans from us.
Right.
Okay. And other countries from buying American exports, to blaming the environmental policies against Roundup and its chemical. But he's also then trying to set a precedent that would not just for Roundup, but for any poisonous substance. I mean, think of tobacco or asbestos. They've already been adjudicated and litigated. But the next thing that comes up, there's no accountability for this. You know, Trump hates accountability when it's applied to him or his supporters or anything that makes money for them. He likes the judicial process when he can use it, but he doesn't like it when it's used against him. Or
I do too. I have the same attitude.
Yeah. So he's mixed a lot of things in here, and we'll see if there's any action in Congress trying to pass some sort of legislation. Although with Trump, it'll probably be just rules and regulations coming out of the administrative state, the Department of Agriculture or the EPA or the Food and Drug Administration. You know, again, the foxes that are inside the hen house.
And the EPA, which this last week, what was it, the week before, ruled that climate change doesn't occur. And therefore, all regulations that are seeking to limit the extent of climate change are illegal and are null and void. And therefore, we no longer have regulations limiting the amount of tailpipe emissions, which produce 30% of the noxious gases that cause climate change.
Yeah. Now, the auto companies don't seem to be going along with that. And don't forget the shift to electric vehicles takes some of that out.
But they've done all they can to prevent the shift to electric vehicles by removing the benefits of, you know, the subsidies that you got for buying an electric car. You could.
Yes. Although there are different kinds. Like I have a hybrid that you don't plug in. It just the battery self charges. And there are.
But you remember that the Biden law promoted the development of electric charging stations throughout the nation, and billions of dollars were allocated to produce 500,000 electric charging stations throughout the nation. But by the end of Biden's term, only 50 had been created. 50. There's supposed to be 500,000. So it was very easy for Trump to say, we're not doing that anymore. And they don't.
Sure.
They stopped it. Yeah.
Because they didn't take anything away from something that people didn't have.
Right. That's right. And by the way, you mentioned before that the Ford Motor Company was shutting down some plants when we were talking about the restriction of jobs. But the most interesting thing is this. The president of Ford Motor went to China, toured the Chinese electric car vehicles, made a statement saying, there's nothing that we have that comes close to what they're doing, and we're not going to produce electric cars. We can't afford to compete. That's why they shut down those plants and are going to convert them to gas-guzzling truck production. That's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, there's a couple of things on that. One is the use of robots in the manufacturing sector, which they have. But two is the technology that they've advanced in terms of electric vehicles there. And it's disheartening because America has been the center of innovation.
Yeah, well, you're 50 years off in your remembrance now, because that's gone. That period has ended. You cannot cut out, as they have cut out, the Trump administration people have cut out, basic research, as they have unfunded the research at the universities, which does the basic research. You can't cut that out and expect that you're going to have innovation. Can't be done.
Yeah, and also the immigration of people who are innovators.
Yeah.
They've cut out that. They've basically destroyed their seed that you need to grow.
Exactly. And with that, we stop, because we've come to the end of our time. And despite the fact that the Trump administration can conjure up the world it likes, we cannot expand the time as we like. 60 minutes are still 60 minutes.
It may not be a show much longer if Barry Weiss continues.
Well, maybe we'll take over from CBS. Who knows?
Oh. Well,
anyway, listen, please, to the State of the Union so that you can tell us about it. Many of us will be asleep. You have to listen for us.
Oh, no good deed goes unpunished. Okay.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.